Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that page and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. It's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships. And it's a tool that I can use effectively to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. The tool itself is available absolutely free. You can click on a link on that page, download the tool. It's a simple PDF file. Download it, print it off, and copy it and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through the use of that tool, or they've been giving powerful testimonials about how the active application of that tool in their lives has benefited them greatly. We hope you do that soon and often. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. If you have comments or questions or testimonials, give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1. You'll put a question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. We're doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year and the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment commentary to go with it. And this workbook lesson for today reads, I need but call on you and you will answer me. The commentary reads, I am not asked to take salvation on the basis of unsupported faith, for creation has promised it will hear my call and answer me itself. Let me but learn from my experience that this is true, and faith in creation must surely come to me. This is the faith that will endure and take me farther and still farther on the road that leads to connection with creation. For thus I will be sure that it has not abandoned me and it extends its love to me still, awaiting but my call to give me all the help I need to come back in touch with creation. Creator, I thank you that your promises will never fail in my experience if I but test them out. Let me attempt, therefore, to try them and judge them not. Your word is one with you. You give the means whereby conviction comes, and surety of your abiding love is gained at last. Pam Grout's Course in Miracles experiment book, Lesson 327, is titled, Stop the Should Storm. She quotes Adyashanti as saying, as long as your experience of self and life is defined by the mechanical, conditioned, and compulsive movement of thought, you are bound to be a very, very limited in your perception of what is real. Pam writes, it starts the moment we're born. We are measured and weighed, compared to other babies in this nursery. We got to make sure that we're the proper height, the proper weight. And then we're taught language and given rules and told to forsake our imaginary friends. It's not that the dude deserted us. It's just hard to make contact through all the words, through the ongoing should storm of guilt and shame. Even the self-help literature, and yes, I'm one of the dispensers of self-help books, even the self-help literature makes us feel guilty. Oh no, I'm having a negative thought. I'm not vibrating enough joy. You know what? It doesn't matter. If you simply let go of all the shoulds, you will be guided, blessed, constantly taken care of. As Lesson 327 promises, I need but call. I will be answered. So that's our Course in Miracles workbook lesson for today and the Course in Miracles experiment commentary from Pam Grout. And as usual, we've got about 50 minutes of time to take your comments and questions. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What's on your mind today? How can we support you? What would be of value for us to discuss? That is, after all, our intention for being here. Our intention for being here is to be of value, to be of service. How can we be of service today? What's on your mind? I was in a session recently with someone who was talking about the difficulty in his circles, his spheres of influence, when he tries to introduce people to the concept, some of these spiritual concepts, including the concept that all events are neutral. Think about it. How many people in your life who are not immersed in the spiritual circles would, freely, wholeheartedly agree that all events are neutral? The fact of the matter is, for most of us, that's not the case. We aren't surrounded by people who would look at life events and say all events are neutral. And of course, I don't know if you're tapped into the news, but we're here very close to an event that happened in Wisconsin over the weekend. People were gathered for a Christmas parade, and somebody drove an SUV through the Christmas parade, and the end result was that 5 people were dead and over 40 people were injured, and what was supposed to be a joyful holiday family time turned into chaos and injuries and death. And so, you know, this person in my session today was saying, so how am I going to go to these people and say all events are neutral? And they're going to just, you know, spit at me and say, you know, this isn't neutral. And the fact of the matter is, I told them, you know, if I were in that situation, I wouldn't argue with them if they wanted to say that's not a neutral event. But if you're engaging in the use of these tools and you understand, not because somebody has told you you should believe this or that, not because of any shoulds, but from direct observation, when you change your interpretation, when you change your focus, and you pour your mind energy into a focus that is more positive or at least neutral, then you create a different experience of your life in that moment. Yes, even when an event this intense happens. Someone was quoted giving a talk at one of the gatherings of people trying to comfort each other in the wake of this experience. And she said, one of the best pieces of advice I'd ever heard from this over the years, these kinds of things, she said, I choose to focus on the helpers. Look at how many people are here to comfort each other, bringing help and support, offering counseling, etc. This is, to me, a better use of my mind energy than fighting against what happened. This isn't about being in denial and saying nothing bad happened, nothing happened, nothing good happened. It's just saying, and this was the advice I gave the patient in my office, what I say to people is, I don't know if all events are neutral. I really don't have any way of knowing the absolute truth of that observation that all events are neutral. What I can tell you without any hesitation is, the more I pretend it's true and choose a more positive interpretation, or at least a neutral interpretation of life events, the better my life gets. The better is my experience of life, the more I pretend that this ancient spiritual teaching that all events are neutral is actually true. And then, you know, we talked about a variety of things, including, so what do you do? How do you start getting back to a neutral or positive interpretation of things if something this intense happens? I said, well, you know, the good place for me to start is, I take a breath, I get centered, I notice that my energy has gone into a negative spin. And I take a breath and I get centered and I start asking myself, gently asking questions like, I wonder how this is going to turn out for the better. I wonder how this contains a lesson I need to learn to move to the next level. I wonder how this situation is going to turn into a blessing or multiple blessings I couldn't have imagined. I wonder how this situation is going to lead me to meet people that I never would have met any other way, where either I'm going to be a blessing in their life or they're going to be a blessing in my life, or both are going to be true. And if I just relax back into observing with that open questioning, my life gets better and better and better. And I don't know the absolute truth of it. I don't know if all events are neutral. I don't know if, as some people are very, very anxious to talk about these days, there's a war going on the planet between good and evil, etc. I don't know if any of that's true. I do know that my life gets better and better, often by leaps and bounds, the more I pretend that all events are neutral and that whatever interpretation I choose to place upon these life events is what drives my experience of life. And so if I actively choose a more positive life interpretation, and then I generate from that interpretation a more positive response, my life gets better. And I know it to be true because I've observed it directly in my life. And like today's Course in Miracles lesson says, it's not something that I need to take on some kind of untested faith. It's direct observation. My life gets better the more I choose positive interpretations of that life and then constructive responses from that clearer view, from that what Michael Rice would call something closer to true perception, that spiritual faculty of seeing the absolute truth of things. And when I'm looking at life through a clean lens, no filter, just the lens, it's far easier for me to choose words and behaviors that are either in themselves a blessing to myself and others or lead to a blessing for myself and others. And that's the core of this work. The more time we can spend looking through the clearer lens with no filter, the more we see the truth. What's the truth? The truth is every one of us is the extension of the creative energy and form. Every one of us is a being of brilliance and light. Even when we aren't aware of that and or acting from that awareness. So, can you find a practice, find a set of tools, find a perspective that allows you to step into the direct observation that your existence, your very ability to be awake and aware and perceive is a miracle, is the extension of the creative energy and form, is evidence of you being a brilliance and light, and that in every moment when you're in direct conscious awareness of that, you extend that energy. You become part of the blessing for yourself and others. And in every moment where you're not aware of it, it's just a time where you've either temporarily forgotten or you've yet to discover the truth that you are a miracle of life expressing in form. You have forgotten or have temporarily forgotten or have yet to discover your brilliance as part of the spark of the one mind, as part of the creative energy expressing in form. And when that happens, when some kind of a fog of negativity arises and obstructs your vision, that's where it's so useful to have tools like the ones Michael and Jeannie Rice make available absolutely free at whyagain.org, because you can then actively step into the application of those tools and transform your life for the better. And that's what we're here to support people in doing soon and often. And we're here to entertain your questions and comments about how to make that happen. Our call in number is 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1 and help us be of service to you. Let us know what would be useful, a useful way for you specifically to spend the next 40 minutes or whatever it is. was another powerful question in the last session, and it had to do with what is the actual mechanism within me that generates the upset that I experience? And this person's been coming to see me for a while, and he said, you know, I really need you to say this again differently, because he said something about, you know, this person triggered me. And I corrected him and said, let's just slow this down and let's integrate some learnings here. If it's true, as in so many of these deep spiritual traditions, if it's true that all events are neutral, then isn't it possible that no one's ever triggered you, that what's happening is when a neutral event unfolds, and that could be even somebody who's actively trying to get you upset, they're trying to insult you or hurt you or get you to feel hurt or pain because they're in pain. Even when that happens, it's a neutral event. And the thing that changes it from your experience of neutrality to your experience of upset is the interpretation that you choose and then place on that event. So each of us is walking around with the accumulation of, you know, negative beliefs and upsets and traumas of the past and negative self-judgments. And each of us is walking around with that in our energy system. We aren't consciously aware of it because we wouldn't be able to function very well in the world if that was in the forefront of our mind. But we carry it around with us. And when we choose an interpretation that has the same resonant frequency as that negative judgment or traumatic energy or pained experience from the past, that's what adds the energy to that emotion, that trauma energy, et cetera, that brings it from our unconscious awareness into our conscious awareness. The outside event didn't do that because the outside event is neutral. And I could have chosen a neutral or a positive interpretation of that outside event, and that energy of trauma and that negative memory would have stayed hidden from my conscious awareness. It's a powerful dynamic. It helps us get very clear in our thoughts and our wording about this if we use the regulatory speech at another level of specificity and accuracy, and I don't let myself say false statements such as this person triggered my upset or this event triggered me to anger or this event triggered my sadness, because the event is neutral. The thing that is in resonance, my upset that I carry with me into this moment, is the interpretation I choose and place on that event. I've had several situations in the past couple of weeks where people came in and said they were in situations which in past years would have resulted in them getting all kinds of angry and upset and maybe even, you know, fist fights with people. And they've watched themselves shut down the rage, shut down the angry response, shut down the attack back, the verbal attack back, and they've been amazed at their ability to do that. So it can happen. And with practice, people recognize that it happens more and more frequently. One of the benefits of breaking the habit or the cycle of relying on rage as our drug of choice or our defense mechanism is that when we're in a situation to which we would have responded with rage in the past, and we refuse to step into the rage, we will be introduced to a level of strength that we had never known was possible. The reason being at multi-level, one of them is that rage creates a false sense of strength, of permanence, of solidity. And so many people use the rage to numb out from the pain, the fear, the sadness, the more vulnerable emotions. And because they're continually tapped into that drug of choice, they don't have the experience of tapping into the strength that comes from refusing to rage and being in what some would call the more sensitive, the more vulnerable, the less controlled emotions. Those emotional states which don't leave us feeling in control. Rage helps us have this false sense of control. Refusing to rage leaves us in the experience of what some would call the more tender emotions, the more fluid emotions, sadness, pain, fear, confusion. And from that space, many people I've worked with over the years have gained the experience that when they refuse to rage, they tap into a level of strength they had never known was possible. And that's our invitation. Choose to understand. Choose to observe for yourself. You know, it's recommended that you avoid arguments with people about whether or not all events are neutral. That's not a fruitful discussion topic. However, while it's not really open for discussion, it's always open for observation. How does your life change, for the better, neutral, or worse, when you pretend that all events are neutral, and when you step into a level of observation that has you questioning everything and watching, all right, what is the interpretation that I've chosen and placed on this life event that's unfolding in front of me? I've chosen an interpretation that says this is bad, this is wrong, that person has no right to talk to me that way. This is tragic that these people died, and this is tragic that those people got off and didn't have to be punished for what they did. And I've chosen that interpretation, and now I can observe it with direct observation. What's the impact of me pouring my mind energy into that interpretation? And the more I'm willing to sit with that level of observation, the more I get to see the consequences that follow. I get to see whether or not I prefer those consequences or something else. And then, as the Course in Miracles asks us so often, and as the Diedrich Wolzak work has in its title, I have the option to choose again. There's an invitation in much of this work to choose again. And so, how can we support you in stepping into this new level of observation, questioning, setting up the observation in your mind for any thoughts, and especially any words where you say, this person triggered me, or that person triggered me, or that situation triggered me, and just step into the questioning. I wonder, what if nothing outside of me has ever triggered me? What if the triggering is actually the resonance that happens between the interpretation I choose and the traumatic energy I've brought with me into this situation? Michael Rice likes to talk about scriptural quotes where the disciples asked Jesus or Yeshua to, you know, punish these people and, you know, get angry and storm through the place or take a sword and do damage to these people. And Michael's response is that, or Yeshua's response was, I have none of that in my store. And Michael Rice clarifies, it means he's done enough of his work that he has done the dismantling process that in the ancient Aramaic was known as forgiveness or shebagging. He has dismantled the pain, fear, sadness, and hurt in his system that would lead him to use rage as a drug to cover it up. And so got none of that in his store means he's cleared out enough of the energy so that there's no negative interpretation within him that would resonate the upset, because the upset's been removed from his energetic system. So this is what we're hoping to help people observe and wake up to in their own lives. And we have specific tools to help make that happen. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, let us know how we can be supportive to you today. How can we be of service? We've got about 26, 27 minutes left. Plenty of time for a call. What's on your mind, or what is it that we've spoken of so far that's resonated something of interest? If you have a question, it's a valid question. There's no such thing as a silly question. There are questions that need to be asked again and again. There are answers that need to be repeated many multiples of times in order for us to get deeper and deeper levels of understanding. And the other day I was looking up the Rilke quote. I talk quite often about Rainer Maria Rilke, and he has a specific quote about living the question. And I like to read it from time to time. And he says, I just went to the wrong page on my, the quote says, I beg you to have patience with everything that's unresolved in your life and in your heart, and to try to love the questions themselves. Right? It's not just the idea of having a question and then searching for an answer passionately. It's about having a love for, having an honoring for the questions themselves. Rilke goes on to say, do not search for the answers which could not be given to you now because you would not be able to live them. Literally, I'm breaking off from Rilke and say, listen, the answers would be like murmurings from another language that you don't speak, or echoes from energies from a dimension, a parallel dimension that you don't have access to. You would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now, and perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, you will live your way into the answer. So we have a hand up. It's area code 310. Give us a name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi. Hi, is this Tim?
Yes.
Hi, this is Dahlia. I joined quite late, so that's why I wasn't sure, but I figured it was you. I listened to your radio a while back and kind of like been struggling a little bit lately, and I felt like I needed support, and yeah, so here I am. thank you for answering my call. Yeah, so where I am based in Evanston, Illinois. I am struggling right now quite a lot. It's related to my family. It's kind of, I've been noticing that I'm trying to search for who my father is. I haven't ever known, and my mom refuses to tell me, and then my friends question, well, how come your mom doesn't tell you? And so then I opened the old wound from years ago, and I asked my mom again 2 weeks ago, to which she basically insulted me in many different ways. And then after that, well, made a lot of insulting comments. And after that, she said I'm no longer her daughter, and she doesn't want to see me ever again. And even if she dies, like, I'm not even allowed to come to her funeral. And that was our last conversation. So so I feel very hurt. And
so breathe. Feel the hurt and breathe. So
yeah.
Dahlia, how much do you know about this work?
The work that you do?
The mind shifter tool, the targeted journaling that Michael calls a mind shifter, the reality management worksheet. How much do you know about any of that?
I know. I did a little bit. I did for maybe 6 months or so a while back. Urieta was the one who introduced me to the work and the tools about the mind shifting and all that. I think.
Okay, so is this Dahlia who attended a support group?
Yeah.
A video call? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So did you ever do any of the worksheets?
I did back then. I did back then, and then I stopped. I went through a lot of different life events. Like, I had a very severe case of COVID. That I was sick for a month, but really bad case, and then I had aftermath, like really bad, for 4 or 5 months, and then I developed autoimmune disease during that time. So it's a lot of stuff happened, the bad stuff, but also good stuff. I started my own company, so a lot of good and bad stuff. But I truly put my self-care aside, and that's the saddest part. I feel when hard things come my way, the first that goes out of the window is the self-care. So yes, I stopped all the work.
Okay, so the bottom line of all of this work is I am the author of my emotions. And so in this case, I would invite you to begin to observe how you are the author of any negative emotions that you experience when your mother says, you're no longer my daughter, I never want any contact with you, even when I'm dead, don't come to the funeral. Now those, you know, seem like very intense words, and most people would assume, in our Western culture at least, that those words are causing your upset, that your mother's words and actions are going to cause your sadness, your fear, your hurt, your anger. But we invite people to step into the observation that not only is that not true, that was never true, and that's the good news. because then you can actually access the mechanism within you that's causing your emotions and make a change. If you don't like the emotions you're experiencing and you understand how you're creating them, you can change. Now, I don't know if you've heard us talk about this before, but one of the best tools in a situation like this where you're interacting with your mother and your mother has gotten so upset and she wants to blame you for her upset, and she's mm-hmm. saying something that you interpret as very hurtful and distancing, et cetera. One of the best things to do is engage in the tool that Pierre Pratervan writes about in his book, The Gentle Art of Blessing. Have you heard us talk about mm-hmm. that?
No.
No? All right. So the best, quickest way for you to get introduced to that is to listen to the interview I did with him for this podcast, this Mind Shifters radio show.
Okay.
And it's available if you go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website
mm-hmm.
and click on the link for best of audio files.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 6 audio files on that page. And the last one on that page is the interview I did with Pierre Pratervan.
Okay.
And so the mechanism that he outlines when actively practiced is one of the best, most powerful tools I've encountered to improve
okay.
the quality of my life and relationships, regardless of what the other person is doing. So I would encourage you to review that. You can, you know, whet your appetite with listening to that hour-long interview. And then if you're so inclined, you can get the book and read more. He's got 2 different books on the blessings. One of them is The Gentle Art of Blessing. And then a couple of years ago, he came out with a new one that's 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World.
Mm-hmm.
And then specifically in relation to you, you said you experienced hurt when your mother said, "You're no longer my daughter, and I never want to see you again." Correct?
Yeah, she made lots of horrible remarks during that time. I'm just like making it short and sweet, but there were lots of insults that she made that were not even true and like
right.
pretty
and so
harsh ones.
Well, they're harsh, right? And they're negative, and you experienced hurt when
yeah.
you heard those, right? And you
yeah.
you put an interpretation on those words that resonated a lot of hurt inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where using a tool like the Reality Management Worksheet can be so beneficial. Because the Reality Management Worksheet in the first 3 steps has you get very specific about what you're doing with your thoughts to create the emotion you're experiencing. And as you get very specific about what you think has to happen for you to be happy again or feel peace again, and that's when you create the goal for that worksheet. And then when you cancel that goal and ask to be shown something from the hidden part of your mind, something you and I could not even begin to imagine right now as we think about how hurtful it was that your mother would say this stuff, and you ask to be shown something you cannot imagine with your conscious logical mind, that's where the power of that process really shines through. There's no amount of me talking to you on the radio that's going to make you feel better. Your mother just told you she never wants to see you again. She said all these angry, hurtful things. I don't have any magic words to make you feel better. And yet you can feel better unbelievably quickly if you are willing to apply that tool.
Well, you see, I've done that too, and I understand what you're saying, but it hasn't worked the way you're saying that it works to me, for me. It hasn't. Maybe I'm resisting. But, you know, like when there is severe trauma that I have experienced throughout my life, that was a real trauma, not just like imaginative trauma, you know, emotional and physical abuse, you know, for, you know, since childhood and whatnot. And now it's emotional abuse that's continuing. It's easier said than done just to, you know, like, to do the tool, you know, the sheet, cancel the thoughts out, or I don't know how you call it, but and just like and say, oh, everything is okay. Well, it's not that easy. I mean, I've done a lot of that work. I've done other work, and it's like the only way I see like not to feel emotions. You know, I heard you say before that. Well, you could hold the thought as neutral, right? Not to put that into any interpretation. And I hear you. However, you know, like if I want to have like a no, like not to kind of wave the waves or how to move the waves, then I have to be completely quiet, calm, quiet in this family. But if I ever voice or ask something, nothing good will come out of that. However, you know, so does that mean I can't know the truth or I have to cancel out the thought of wanting to know that? I don't know. I don't know. And
are you talking about knowing the truth of who your father is?
Yeah. Or being shut down and never being able to ask. And if I ask, when I was 27 and we had a fight, and now I'm 47 and I asked the same, and she said, well, I thought you forgot about this. I thought you became smarter. Yeah, great. Yeah, so.
Well, so, and, Dahlia, let me help you. Let me help you try to understand something here. You're
okay.
Asking for help with a very intense, many-layered problem in your life. You're talking about physical and emotional abuse through your life. You're talking about dealing with a mother who is so traumatized that she's, rather than face her own internal pain, she's talking about disowning her daughter, meaning you. So this is a very intense, many-layered problem. And what you're saying to me is that your experience of the tool and your, you know, what, however much experience you have with the reality management worksheet, is that it is not powerful enough to help you with the kind of problem you've got. And I would say, with the level of experience you have with this tool, it is not powerful enough to fix your problem. However, imagine that we had just a plain old hammer and a chisel and one of those sandstone blocks about 4 foot by 4 foot. Have you ever done any sculpting?
Well, my first major was in furniture with technology and engineering. So I did a little bit of tool work.
But with your hands, a hammer and a chisel, have you sculpted something out of a block of sandstone?
No.
All right. So we give you the hammer and the chisel, and then we get foremost sculptor on the planet alive today who has spent decades working with a hammer and the chisel, and we give you each identical 4x4 blocks of sandstone. What do you think the results are going to be? Same tools.
Well, of course, the experience.
The person with the experience
cultures, they will
is
get
going to get far more powerful result.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So what it's not that this tool is not powerful enough to help you. It's that you don't have the experience with it yet so that you can do with it what it's capable of helping you do.
Hmm.
So I just have to offer that reality management worksheet is one tool. Three early memories of conflict is another tool. The codependence to interdependence worksheet is another tool. The mind shifter targeted journaling is another tool. The Pierre Pratervan gentle art of blessing is another tool. And there are others that are available free, and yet each of them will take some time for you to learn how to use the individual tool and how to use them in conjunction with other tools to produce powerful results in your life. And we've got mm-hmm. this internet show that happens 5 days a week, 2 hours a day that you could tap into. We have the support group that happens twice mm-hmm. a week from 6:30 to 9 p.m., and that's available free where we can help you step through a worksheet process. Now, we don't have time to step you through a worksheet process today. We could help you frame out a worksheet process if mm-hmm. if you were convinced that it might be of value. But with mm-hmm. what you just stated, you're sitting there with a conclusion that this tool is too simple and too powerless to help you with the big trauma you're going through. And so it wouldn't even be beneficial for me to step you through a worksheet, because the conclusion you're holding, have you been on,
as if I already know
the show at all? Pardon me?
As if I
Say
already
again?
Know the outcome.
Exactly.
What you said about the conclusion. Mm-hmm. Right.
Have you been on this show at the beginning at all this year?
A year ago,
so we don't run out of time. We've been starting the show every day this year by reading a Course in Miracles workbook lesson and mm-hmm. the commentary from the book The Course in Miracles Experiment by Pam Grout. A couple days ago on this show, we said, so here's the Course in Miracles lesson. And it was just yesterday. And it says, mm-hmm. When you believe something, you have made it true for you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you believe this tool can't help me, that will be true.
Right.
As mm-hmm. soon as you feel like the old Henry Ford thing, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right either way. Because what you believe
mm-hmm.
is what you make your reality. And
mindset.
I'm not trying to convince
right.
you one way or another, but I will tell you this. The reason I still dedicate 5 hours a day or 5 hours a week and two nights a week these support groups and donate my time to this for the past 11 years is because of the benefit these tools have had in my life for
mm-hmm.
some of the worst, some of the most intense, some of the most unwanted events in my life, and how these tools and their application have allowed me to have a more loving, a more peaceful, a more productive, a more connected emotionally to other people experience in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can tell you, is that I keep using these tools and I keep sharing them because they have a power that goes far beyond anything I imagined when I first got introduced to them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I hear you and understand what you're saying. It's the mindset and its resistance to something that I already made up my mind that might not have help, when in fact it might help, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So what
and I offer
you,
the ongoing
you...
support.
What days do you offer, Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Tuesday night and Thursday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
Okay.
Those groups
okay.
are still running. Still.
And I can find it on the Heart Radio website?
No, you can find it on mindshiftersacademy.org.
Mindshiftersacademy.org, okay. I'll sign up. Okay.
The same one I sent you to for the Pierre Pratervand interview.
Do you, Tim, also take private clients?
Yes, when I have the time, I do, yes.
I hear
that,
you.
That
okay.
has been a real stretch these past almost 2 years now with the coronavirus restrictions, trying to find enough time to see all the people that want to be seen. But yes, I do have a private practice.
Yes. Well, actually, I'm a psychotherapist myself, so which, you know, I understand because I'm busy myself. But yeah, I'm definitely looking for someone for stronger support. Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Tim. I will look on the Academy website, and then I will sign up for a support group, and then I'll continue keep coming to these, and hopefully I can also find a therapist.
All right, and you can email me through that website if you want to, you know, make direct contact.
Okay, wonderful.
All right.
Actually, I really appreciate it. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. You're welcome and deserving.
Thank you.
Bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we have just a couple of minutes left until hopefully Michael and or Jeannie will be here for the second hour today. And we have the rest of the week. I don't know if there will be some best of shows going on later in the week. This is a holiday week. Traditionally, we have just done the work, done the internet shows right through the holidays, and that's all I know of. I know that yesterday we did a best of show for Michael and Jeannie, and we only have about a minute or so left, but here's area code 760. You're in the air. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Anne, normally in Florida, but visiting in South Carolina. But I just wanted to thank you, as always, when someone else calls in and you're working with them, it benefits all of us, but I can only speak for me today. I'm up here with different personalities, the other mother-in-law, or the other mother, which would be a sister-in-law, I guess. I don't know. You know, in a new house of my daughter and son-in-law, and just it's beautiful out here. It's freezing at night, but sun shining, and I'm raking leaves and made my own exercise program, but there's those differences in personalities, and I just thank you for how you worked with can't remember her name right now, but the gal that you were
Dahlia.
Working with, and Dahlia, and it just is all those reminders of things I needed to hear again while I'm up here, because I'm up here with no worksheets, but I need to get the new or the, what is it, Heartland Aramaic on my new phone, because I don't have that. But, I have the other mother has been working with mental health for 30-plus years and getting ready to retire. And yet she admitted in our conversations over the last couple of days that she is a controller. It's like, but then we're also talking about scriptures and, you know, and the Bible and stuff like that. And it's like, okay. I am not to judge. I am still to work on my own self. So thank you so much.
All
it's been a blessing
to
live.
Entirely welcome and deserving blessings. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I noticed that Blog Talk has made a change in the hand up. That's cool.
It actually looks like a hand right now.
Yeah, it does. Awesome. I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thank you for playing that yesterday.
You're very welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Tuesday, November the 23rd, 2021, and their call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we are expecting Nene to call in, but Michael, I do not see her number yet, so wait until she pops in. Welcome.
Well, let's say hello and Welcome, everybody, to Mind Shifters Radio. We are honored and delighted that once again we get to entertain this conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness and all of the corollary tools that go along with this work. Jeannie, do you have the book out there?
No, I don't. The last time I saw it, it was laying in the floor beside of your
table. Must have fallen off of the table. Oh, it was in the holder. Okay. Cool. Thank you. So let's take a look. We'll wait for Nenae to call in, but we'll read a little bit from Why Is This Happening to Me Again? If you have not been part of the radio show before, then we'll just explain that, you know, we've been starting the radio show out this year by reading a few paragraphs from the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And What You Can Do About It. And if you want to read along with us, you want to get a copy of the book, you can do it several different ways. The book is out of print, so we don't have it available for sale, unfortunately. But Amazon, you know, it's been, 24, 25 years or so since we published it. But and Amazon and eBay have lots of copies of it all the time, so you can just zap in there and pick up a copy pretty cheaply. And or you can go to our website and download it free. Go to whyagain.org. You can download it free, and there is an unprinted newer version of the book. We've only ever printed one version, and so that's the only one available out there. But we do have an updated. I've done a fair bit of editing on the book. So there's a newer version in audio format, and you can go to our website and look in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see products, and if you click there, you'll see that a download is available. Also, it's available on on CD. So lots of ways to get it. So if you're following along, we're on page 148. And we're talking to Richard about the idea of building brain cells, and that, you know, the title of the particular chapter is What Is Learning? And we're pointing out that in order for the mind to feed something back to us, we have to have brain cells. We have to have content in the mind already in order for the mind to formulate perception out of it. Which when you start looking at it, you know, our last chapter was the has-been, awakening from the has-been and recognizing that if it's stored in brain cells, it obviously came from the past. If it's from the past, then it's not a live experience at this moment. And most people are locked into perceptual constructs from content in the mind from the past. And so, you know, this formulates the essence. People who never learn to change their past, never learn to forgive, that is, remove what's in the mind. Forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook, but to forgive is to remove from the mind. So if you're having a Why Is This Happening to Me Again experience, your mind will show you that there's something out there that's happening to you again, but the truth is the content from the past is simply replaying. It gets massaged into all kinds of different forms by our belief systems, by our BS, and by the goals that we hold. But if you want to change what's happening in your life, the geographic cure will never do it. Getting them to change is not going to bring about the result that you want if you're coming to an experience with the same old brain cells. And recognizing that perception is a construct of the mind, you want to especially remove the emotionalized content from the past that tends to keep people in loops out of the past. So we're talking about the dedication that it takes, and I offer Richard the thought, the character in the book I'm talking to. It takes patience to build brain cells for deeper awareness. It takes time to integrate the ideas presented in this work and for significant change to take place. Those without the brain cells will often wonder why others get excited when using these tools. I've seen people become impatient with this work because they want all the information now instead of taking the time to go through the learning process. And of course, instead of taking time to go through the forgiveness process. I experienced some frustration myself because I would like to teach this whole process in one exhale. And of course, I kind of lie there when I say that, and this is a refinement that when I wrote the book 25 years ago, I really didn't have. And in fact, if you were in any of my workshops back then, you'll remember when I did Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You know, if I came to your location and I did a week-long series, the top line always remained on the board, deny, suppress, project. And this line is a refinement from an instruction I got that changes that. Now, if you come to one of my workshops for about the last 10 years, the top of the board will not say deny, suppress, project. It will say deny, dissociate, project. Because when we deny, and our definition of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's happening inside of me, then I have to hide from myself the root of what's happening inside of me. So I dissociate from it. Once I do that, it's no longer mine to change. I am guaranteed until I find the password. You know, it's kind of like you've got a file and you store it in your computer, you put a password in it, you forget the password. Until you get the password back, that file's not coming back. As long as you're in denial, again, whenever you think or speak as though something outside of you is the cause of something inside of you, you're in denial. And when you're in denial, the true cause of what you're experiencing, you've just walked away from awareness. It's not yours to change anymore. So my lie here when I say I experience some frustration myself because I would like to teach this whole process in one exhale. Well, you know, if I'm experiencing frustration, I'm experiencing frustration because there's frustration in me. It's got nothing to do with wanting to teach it in one exhale. But that's the goal for me, in me, with which I access my own frustration. When I load a goal, if that goal causes something based in hostility or fear to be used by the mind, then I'm living out of corrupt data. So if I were to say this accurately, if I were to change the language to represent and to give my mind permission to show me the truth, I would say that frustration comes up for me when I set a goal in my mind to teach the whole process in one exhale, and people want it that way. So recognizing that my frustration is not about not being able to teach it in one exhale, it's about the fact that there's frustration in me. So whenever we have a because, I'm enraged because, I'm sad because, I'm hurting because, all of that comes under the title of denial. And denial means I have to hide the cause. Now, the password to getting to the cause and changing it is forgiveness. It's the technology with which you access what you've dissociated from. And so when I realize that I can't teach this work, in this whole body of work, in one exhale, frustration comes up for me. And I'm willing to heal my frustration. That's my work to do. It would be wonderful if people could have all the understanding and tools in usable form all at once. Boy, it would be so nice to just be able to knight somebody with it. But my experience is that if you're going to come to this level of understanding as a conscious co-creator in your life, that it takes 5 to 10 years of dedicated work to really delete the false content and build brain cells for what creatorship really looks like. And people say, well, I don't want to take 5 to 10. Well, you know, when you realize that your destiny is to be a creator, sooner or later, you got to go there. Like, what else is there to do? The alternative is to keep creating the same old, why is this happening to me again experience. So yes, it would be wonderful just to be able to knight people with understanding. They go, oh, okay, so now I understand brain cells, past, denial, dissociation, projection. But it's a process. And sadly, a lot of people won't hang around long enough to build the brain cells for it. And or because what we've dissociated from tends to be content that holds pain, most people don't want to go, don't make me look. It's one of the basic messages that we get from people. So one of the blocks that tends to slow the process of learning is the conflicting realities that people have in their minds about words. The way words are used plays an important part in building brain cells. A word may be understood in various ways and may be hooked into a variety of realities individual to each mind. There are agreed upon meanings that seem to be inherent in words, but the only meaning a word has is the reality it brings up in the individual's brain cell structure. In other words, what do you have brain cells for? And, you know, in any given event, there's an actuality. There's what actually happened. And then everybody who observes, unless they're truly living in the present, observes through a construct of their minds. And the construct, their perceptual, the perceptual output of their mind is their reality. So in each case, based in one actuality, if you've got two observers, there are two realities. If you've got four, there are four. If you've got 8,000 observers, there are going to be 8,000 different realities because no two people have exactly the same brain cell structures. So there are agreed upon meanings that seem to be inherent in words, but the only meaning a word has is the reality it brings up in the individual's brain cell structure. Just because people agree on a definition does not mean the word itself holds that or any meaning. So we might agree on it, but the word itself is just a flapping of a little piece of skin in your throat. The fact is, there's no word is a sound we make up that come to some level of agreement has a meaning, but the only meaning that's really relevant for any given word is what fires in an individual's brain cell structure. And so Richard replies, well, I can see, Michael, that just keeping clear on the concepts of reality and actuality will take time for me. But I'm up for the challenge. I can see it's going to involve unlearning old habits or old thinking and ingrained behaviors. It's time for me to deal with the things that haven't worked in my life. I just need to get past the feelings that overwhelm me when I think about how much work I need to do. And it, for those whose experience of life, especially with their power person, have included overwhelm, then that's going to be part of the healing process. You know, whatever content is in brain cells, whatever's gone on in the mind from the past is going to represent itself usually in many different ways. And as I realize that my reality is a unique construct of my own mind, and I have the power to change it. If it's based in hostility or fear, I have the power to recognize that this content distorts my perceptual construct and gives me information that is not contained in the actuality of the experience. And when I project content, and you know, we live in a culture that generally tells us that projection is taking something that's inside of us and putting it outside of us, but projection is actually taking content that's inside of us and making pictures of it in our mind, constructing a world of pictures of realities. That's projection. So the mind has this unique capability, and that is it turns thoughts into pictures. It takes digital information, and whatever that information is, that will be turned into pictures in the mind. So people see all kinds of things that never happened out there, but it's happening inside of them because that's the brain cell content. So you take, you know, a signal coming into a TV set, and if the signal's a lousy signal, there's lots of noise, there's interference, then the picture on the screen is going to be snowy, blurry, flippy, crazy, you know, what's going to happen? Now, I can put a picture right beside it, and if there's no interference with the signal, I've got a perfect picture. Well, if I have no distorting information inside of me, that is, nothing based in hostility or fear, no corrupt data, then what happens is my mind will give me pictures, constructs, about what happened in the actuality that will at least be accurate. And that's a big step up from where most people live. But it's still not life, because a picture from the past based in data that is true and accurate about what happened in the present is still a picture based in data from the past that is obviously not alive. It's not a live present moment experience. And we are designed to have, from moment to moment to moment, a live present moment experience where we are available to the actuality, not stuck in the routine realities that the mind gives us, and stuck in the self that is a product of the mind, the self that most people think that they are. You go back and you listen to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and he says, in order for you to live, you've got to die. What does that mean? I have to, you know, fall over dead? No. It means that if your realities about yourself come from experiences based in hostility and fear, corrupt data, then you're going to have a corrupted image of yourself. The truth about you is not going to be available to you. Forgiveness removes that corrupt data. And then the self that was never true will disappear from the perceptual constructs of the mind, and it will make room for the experience of ourselves as who we truly are. And if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly who the child is, and you know exactly who you are. Because when you get to that essence of the newborn, the truth is it's based in love. It's what we are. So that's the upshot and the vision, the goal of doing this work. I should say, actually more correctly, the purpose of doing this work is to clean up the past, to delete the self that never was, that appears to be, and to make room for who we are, to really truly enter into our physiology and into the world. And so that's where we're going with this work. And Miss Jeannie, do we have Miss Nene with us yet?
We do not. I'm going to text her and see what's going on there.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of strange. I was just talking to her just a little while ago, and she was on it to call in at 1 o'clock. I'm sending her a WhatsApp message. So I just sent that to her, so we'll see. Maybe something's come up for her. And beyond that, the thought comes, I was talking to someone just a day or two ago, and this person's a minister, and he's getting on in years. And he actually first made contact with this work, geez, almost probably 37 or 38 years ago in West Palm Beach. And he's kind of toyed around with it all these years. You know, every 2 or 3 or 5 years I'll hear from him and we'll have a conversation, or I've spoken at his church in the past, and he came to the workshops. But unfortunately, never really dug in to do the work. And we were talking about he's having some health challenges. And the challenge that he has is with balance. And he's finding, because of some brain anomalies, that, you know, just unexpectedly he falls over and, you know, knocks things down, and, you know, it's making life really difficult for him. And two things that I want to share about this is that, one is, we're talking and we're processing this, we're stepping into where some forgiveness work might be, what he might want to do there. And, you know, you look at the ancient scriptures, they talk about ask and you receive. And this comes in the category of be careful what you ask for. Because he's now a little older and, you know, getting near retirement. And he had a plan where he was not ever going to retire. And he described what his vision was for moving toward the end of his life. And his words were, you know, I was planning to be in the pulpit until I fell down, meaning fell down dead, until the end of his life without retiring. And I was like, I'd invite you to step back and take a look at what you just said. Oh, what do you mean? Well, did you hear what you just said? Well, yeah, I was going to be in the pulpit until I fell down. Do you notice what's happening to you now, what your health challenge is? Oh, my God, I'm falling down. And I say this to hopefully open the space to inspire people to pick up the tools and use them, because for this gentleman, he's kind of danced around the tools over the years, but never really gotten committed, never really done worksheets and done his work. And now that his brain is damaged, I mean, he's got physical damage going on, so-called physical. He's like, oh, man, I want to do this. I need to do this. I'm going to step. Man, I'm going to do that work. And, you know, it's like, well, the time to do it would have been 30 years ago, 38 years ago, 25 years ago, 20 years ago. It's a whole lot harder to climb the mountain when you're almost down to the very bottom with health challenges. And my offering is, the teachings of Yeshua from the first century Aramaic are the most profound and most powerful healthcare support system you'll ever find, and it's free. It is just so profoundly impactful if you use it. But you've got to use it. Knowing about it doesn't do its job. So if this is making sense to you and you want to use the tools, use them now rather than when there's crisis and you go, oh, now my back's against the wall, now I have to use them, because the vitality level isn't there at that stage in someone's life, and the chances of them really doing it are, you know, start to get slim. And then the second category that I brought this topic up around is to be careful what you ask for. You know, if you listen to Yeshua, he says the power of life and death is in our words. We can set our lives up in whatever direction we want to go. And when you listen to his words, and it's like he just, you know, kind of coincidentally, almost accidentally spoke those words, but it was like, yeah, that's been what I've said to people. That's what I want to do. Be in the pulpit till I fall down. He reminded me of another really, I mean, I could give you two dozen examples from over the years, but probably the other most profound one where somebody asked for and got what they wanted, or pardon me, what they asked for. And in this case, I don't know, maybe it was what this guy really wanted, but we were out in Edmonds, California, Washington State maybe, and there was a doctor there who we became friends with. We'd been at his center several times, and we actually stayed with him. And he had a son that was into motorcycles and fixing motorcycles. And it was someone we would talk to every once in a while. I called him one day, and he said, I'm just, you know, devastated. My son was killed in an accident with a Mack truck. And he was just devastated. And after they had the funeral service, we talked. And he shared that he, you know, they lived in the same town all their lives, and that several of his friends from his early life, from high school and such, were at the memorial service, and one of his friends brought a copy of a story that he had written when he was in high school. I mean, this kid in high school had a vision for his life. And the shock of it when this friend heard what had happened caused him to go back, and I don't have any idea why he still had a copy of this story from high school. You know, this guy was in his 50s, but he had written a vision for his life about how he wanted to, he loved motorcycles in high school, and he wanted to be a motorcycle mechanic, which he became, and he wanted to ride motorcycles. And then he said, I want to live until, in his words in the story that he wrote in high school were, until I'm sieved through a radiator of a Mack truck. He was on his motorcycle, and he had had a collision with a Mack truck 30-some years later. Power of life and death is in our words. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful where you allow your mind to go. You know, the Greeks had this piece of the puzzle, actually. They said, guard the portals of the mind. Be careful what you allow in there. And because thoughts, you know, when we get into the cell biologist laboratory, well, let me step back. First of all, if you go to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. In Aramaic, that's not what it says. In Aramaic, it says, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. And what the cell biologists are now telling us is that when you think a thought, that thought literally becomes a molecule in your body. It's called a neuropeptide. The neuropeptide circulates around in your cellular structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches, and it lands on the receptor site. When it lands on the receptor site, the cell inserts itself, the molecule, pardon me, inserts itself in the cell and becomes quote-unquote chemistry. If we were looking from inside the cell, we'd say, oh, look, here's some new chemistry coming into the cell. So the neuropeptide is a state of organized energy that shows up as a chemical, carrying the signature of the thought that set it in place. Mind energy becomes flesh. And in that, when you recognize it, is our creatorship. So when I recognize myself as a creator, and I see that my creation is going off the rails, rather than, you know, trying to find somebody else to blame and putting my energy into a place where it's totally wasted in trying to change them, if I come back to myself. I actually shared this last night with a friend of mine who I was talking to. I was driving last night and talking to a friend who's a parent educator. And as this, it was on my mind because I just had this conversation with this other friend, this minister, earlier in the day. And she shared that there was a point, she's a physical therapist as well as a parent educator, and she shared that several years ago when she was doing more physical therapy, there was a particular hospital that she worked at, and the nurses just, you know, railed on her, you're in our way, get out of here, we don't want anything to do with you, we don't want you in here, these patients don't need this. And she had found herself always kind of skulking away and self-deprecating. It's like, oh, I guess I'm just not good enough type of thing. And she shared that she did some worksheets around that and realized that it was a message from her power person and was able to change that dynamic, was able to heal that. And she said, when I, you know, there was a shift that happened as I'm doing worksheets around this, and I went into the same patient, the same hospital, the same nurses who were rejecting me, and she said there was still rejection there, but all of a sudden I had a whole new mind to work with. I could, once I resolved that part of me that was self-deprecating, I could see kinds of other possibilities. And instead of just, oh, well, okay, I'll leave and not do the job I'm here to do, she said I could see that these nurses were in overwhelm. It wasn't about me personally, although I'd taken it personally. It was just they were in overwhelm and they had things to do. And it was an older patient, and it was a patient they needed to get to a bath, you know, to get out of bed, help them get out. And instead of skulking away like, you know, there's something wrong with me, she said I could see that, oh, possibilities. Her perception all of a sudden was possibilities for support. And the nurses who were, you know, shushing her and pushing her out the door said, well, you know, I can see that what you want to do, and, you know, I can make this part of this man's therapy session, getting him up and out of bed and effectively getting him into the shower and getting a shower. And so all of a sudden, instead of rejection, which her mind took it as, and having leaving, all of a sudden she saw different possibilities, was able to communicate differently, and became an acceptable part of the team in this person's care. So the energetic patterns with which we ask is how we get to receive. Really important. And I'm just going to check with Jeannie. I've got another piece of that puzzle I'll throw in if we haven't heard from Danae yet. Is she on the line, Jane?
She typed in the chat room. I told her I would call her and do a conference call. She said that her phone is telling her that the dial-in number is no longer in her plan. So she's on the phone now with her Metro PCS trying to get that straightened out. And I said, well, let me know if you want me to call you. So I haven't heard back from her.
Let me see if I have a different number. We've seen that before with what was the service we had back a while ago. Anyway, they had the same thing. They charged extra for it because apparently Blog Talk charges something like a penny a minute to phone services. So.
Yeah, she just texted me and said, apologies, trying to solve the problem, cannot access the show's number. So let me see if I can call her. She hasn't said, you know, she may still be talking to them, but I'll try to call her and conference her in.
Okay.
So let me try that.
Technology. So, while G's seeing what she can do there, I'll just share this one other story quickly about be careful what you ask for and how this energy system works. You know, back in the early days of doing this work, one of the things I did is I would keynote at a conference called Global Sciences. And one year did the keynote address, and one of the presenters at the conference was Marcel Vogel, who was at that point a 23-year senior scientist from IBM. This guy was just a genius mind. He was actually the only non-degreed scientist that IBM ever had on their staff. And the reason he didn't have a degree is because nobody could teach him anything. At 11, he invented chemical light, you know, mixing two chemicals to produce light. And if you go to a football game today, that's Marcel's technology, that you buy a light stick, you know, it's a plastic tube, and inside of it there are two glass tubes, and you break the two glass tubes, you bend it, and they break, and the chemicals mix, and the stick lights up for, you know, several hours, whatever. And at the age of 11, Marcel invented that, and his family did not have the money for a lawyer to patent it, so he patented it himself at 11. So if you have a computer that you use, the reason your computer works is because while he was working for IBM, Marcel Vogel invented the magnetic coating that allows your hard drive to store information. That's the kind of mind Marcel had, and he brought with him and presented a camera called the Delaware camera. And the Delaware camera is a unique camera in that between the aperture, you know, normally you click the button on the camera and the aperture opens and light comes in and it's registered on a photographic plate. Well, in between the aperture and the photographic plate, there's a tuning mechanism on the Delaware camera. So you have to attune that tuner to whatever frequencies are present in the environment in order for the camera to see them. One of the things Marcel, and this was the point of his presentation of the camera, was that he was able to take literally a picture of the high energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. So everything, every energy that moves, you know, by definition, energy is motion, and everything that moves creates waves. I throw a rock in a pond, and the movement of the water creates, we can watch that wave. Well, we don't have a visual receptor that works in the realm of mind energy, but it's no different. When I fire brain cells, there's activity, and that activity or that motion creates an energy wave, and Marcel was able to take a picture of that energy wave. So there were, back in the early days at Heartland, first year or so, it was a local family that we had befriended, and they asked if we would do a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for the family. It's like, yeah, we're here. You know, they were coming and helping us to do some things, so sure, we'd love to. They were learning it, and they wanted to share it with family. So the father and mother of this couple, of the woman of this couple, came to that workshop. And when we got to the point of doing the worksheet, this fellow had no nothing. He was like, I don't have anything to do worksheets on. He was kind of a crusty sort of guy. He was in his 70s. He was a local farmer. And if you know anything about the Ozarks, they're pretty hilly. And so he had nothing to do a worksheet on. So his daughter said, well, Dad, you know, you're always complaining about Betsy. Why don't you do a worksheet on Betsy? Story I find out is that Betsy is his cow, or one of his cows, and especially in the winter at the Ozark Hills, if your cow doesn't come to the barn door for milking, it's tough. It's a lot of work to do to get that cow. So he shares with us, or she says, well, you know, why don't you do that? And he ends up sharing the story of, you know, every time he goes to milk, Betsy's somewhere else on the property and won't come to the barn. And he shared that, you know, at one point he put a bell on her so he'd be able to track her better because it's hills and brush. And he literally said she'd go and hide behind in the trees. You know, he wouldn't be able to find her. So Jim, that's his name, Jim the Does, a worksheet on Betsy. When he gets to canceling the goal for the cow to be there when it's time to milk, and remember that when you cancel the goal, the perceptual construct of your mind collapses and gives you access to what underlies it. All of a sudden, Jimna becomes very emotional. He remembers, first time he's put the two and two together, that when he was a kid, his personal cow was named Betsy. He named this cow the same name. And he was an horrendously abused child and shared how very young, like 5, 6 years of age, Betsy was his best friend, his only friend. He lived on a farm. His father was extremely physically abusive, and after he'd get a beating, he'd go out, and the words he used, he said, I'd just hang on Betsy's neck, and I'd tell Betsy what happened. And it was his friend, his solace. It was his only escape from a pretty tough life. Well, he wanted to share that Betsy was getting older, and he's got an older brother who cons him, that's his memory of it, into trading Betsy for whatever, I don't even remember what it was, but he ended up giving the cow. Now, the reason the brother wanted the cow was because the cow was getting older and was getting to the point where it was more trouble than it was worth to him. And so he conned his younger brother into trading him for something that the kid wanted, the cow, and he immediately took the cow and sent it off to the glue factory or to the butcher shop. And so he touches into being a very young boy who has now sold his friend into death, had his friend murdered. That's how he recalled this, and with great emotional pain and trauma. So he worked on and processed through that pain and that memory. I got a very excited phone call from him the next day. He said, well, you know, I had to leave to go home and milk. And when I got to the barn door to milk, Betsy was standing at the door. And this morning when I went to milk, you know, he was at the afternoon, evening milking, and then in the morning he said, Betsy's at the door. Well, from that point forward, he never had to chase Betsy again. Betsy was always at the door to be milked. They say, well, how does that, how could that be? Well, you know, I would explain it as he's got a painful reality in his mind. He's not even aware that he named this cow the same name as the cow he had when he was a young boy. And he's holding an energetic pattern of, I killed my best friend, Betsy. By, you know, he didn't know what his brother was going to do. He just, you know, he had something he wanted and he got it, and his brother got the cow and off to the market the cow went. That forgiven, removed, remember forgiveness is removal, that removed from his structure means he'd no longer be sending out a message that I think we could fairly safely assume is, if you come around me, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to have you killed. And Betsy, I mean, this is a period of years. Betsy doesn't come to the barn door. And on that day, that changed. And from then on in, he shared with us that Betsy was always at the barn door at milking time. When you realize how powerful we are as creators, how deeply energetically our creative process reaches into this world and the impact it has, take those three examples that we just shared. The man who says, oh, I was planning to be in the pulpit till I fell down. And here he is, perhaps years from passing, he had meant I'm going to die, you know, standing in the pulpit. And I was okay with him. And what's he doing? He's falling down. Be careful what you ask for. And so, Miss Jeannie?
I tried to call Nene, and I got her voicemail, so that must mean she's still on the other line.
Okay. Yeah, well, she's not going to resolve with him at any time soon, I don't think so. Let me just send her a quick text.
And I sent her a text and told her I'd call her, but then when I called, it just went to voicemail. So.
We've been communicating on WhatsApp, so I'm sending her a message on WhatsApp. So I'll just send her a note saying answer your call.
So while you're doing that, I'll let everybody know that I am now working with India to get the app updated. Lots of changes. There's going to be, like right now we have the current seven step and the abbreviated worksheet and the Dragon Klingon game and the commitments. We're going to have an events button so that you can click that and it will take you to where, you know, we list our events on the website and what's going on. There's going to be a more button, and when you click that, it'll take you to the website, and there'll be a whole list of things, just information, more worksheets, all the different worksheets that we have. Then there's a button that says send us your questions now, and when you click that, you give us your name, your email, and write your question. And then we will respond to you, and it actually says this in the app, that we will
let's see how it's worded. All questions will be addressed anonymously on the live radio show, and we will respond to you via email, giving you the date and time of the show where we answer your questions, and then a send button. And when they hit send, it will send us that question, but then it'll also take them straight back to whatever page they were on in the app. And so
that'll
be pretty
cool. Floating
on
each page in the app, so that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. And then at the bottom of it, there'll be a button, listen to the Mindshifters radio show. The information's already down there, but if you click that button, it will take you to our website where it will tell you, you know, other ways that you can, whether it's by the archives or, you know, however. But anyway, that's underway. They say hopefully within a week they'll have it complete. And if you would like to financially support us in that, it's going to cost $750 to get that redone. But that's some major changes in it.
Yeah, actually, it's not an update, honey. That's a big upgrade. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, really.
I'm wondering if on the page where people ask questions, there could also be a check mark that would automatically add them to the mailing list if they want to be added, that they could check it and get on our mailing list. So that might be and if you're out there and you're not getting our newsletter and you want to be on our mailing list, go to our website, whyagain.org, and down at the bottom of the page, there's a link there that you can sign up. You know, with all the anti-spam regulations and such, we can't just sign you up. You have to sign up, and then they'll send you an email and confirm it. So maybe we could put that in there. I don't know. And if we could, make it easier for people to link to our radio show and to our newsletter. Well, I guess we're going to miss getting to talk with Nene. So is there anybody else out there in the phone queue with a thought for us? Our calling number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581. It's 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you have a question, you just push 1. And that raises a hand in the phone queue, and we'll be having a conversation. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? If you have any questions about the app, about the use of the tools, we're here to support you. If you're not using the tools, you can go to our website, whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner of the page, you can click a link that says Start Here. And if you click that Start Here link, that will open a whole series of links that will walk you through literally 35 years of developing this, well, no, more than that, 40 years of developing this technology from the Aramaic. 50 years overall in developing the whole body of work, but specifically the forgiveness technology of the first century Aramaic language. And you can, of course, if you want to access our app, you can go to your app store and type in the words Heartland, one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. Second word is Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You type that in, you're looking at the world's only forgiveness app. And it's pretty sweet, pretty powerful. Thank you for all the hundreds of hours you've put into working on that, Jeannie. And this new upgrade is it's going to be cool that people can just, they're in the middle of their, you know, doing a worksheet, the question comes up, the link's floating right there on the page, you can click it and ask a question. And then we'll inform you. We'll, you know, if you can't be on a particular show, we'll drop you back an email that says, we talked about that on Tuesday's show, here's the link. And if you happen to listen to anything in the archives of the radio show, you can go to, again, to whyagain.org, and if you scroll down the page, you'll see a microphone. You click on that microphone, and that will, you can just drill down into that, those links, and it'll take you right to any one of, I don't know, something like 3,500 shows or so, 3,500 hours of shows from the last 10 years. And so if you happen to listen to a show where we don't have any notes on it yet, you know, it's kind of later in the process that Jeannie started, you know, earlier we were on the road and it was difficult to do. So some of the early shows don't have any notes in them. But if you listen to a show and there's something that particularly clicks for you, if you wouldn't mind, if there are not notes, just dropping G, you know, with the date of the show and such, and a brief set of notes, you know, what was there, that will help other people to upgrade, you know, to the database is searchable and can look for things by topic and such. So it would be very much appreciated support. And again, as Jeannie says, if you'd like to help support the funding of taking the app to the next level, that would be nice. We did have a request from Julie Haversick last week. She's got someone coming in to do a bunch of work on the Heartland property with trees needing trimmed and taken down and leaves falling and grass growing and all the stuff that it takes with Heartland being closed. Of course, it's at this point nothing but an expense. And so if you'd like to help us with that, that would be awesome. You know, we do the best we can to deliver everything we can with no requirement for money. And while we do as much as we can free, we haven't figured out how to do it all for nothing yet. And so if you have benefited from this work and you'd like to offer support, and if you just go to the website, whyagain.org, there's a link that says donate down toward the bottom. And you can click that link and you can send us if you know us and we're friends type thing, then you can click for friends and family. And PayPal doesn't take anything off the top. It's a PayPal link. You don't have to have a PayPal account to do it. You click on it and it takes you in, and you can just do it with a credit card, or if you've got a PayPal account, you can do it from PayPal. But if you click for friends and family, then PayPal doesn't even take anything off the top. Otherwise, they take, I don't know, 3 or 4%, whatever it is. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? We've got about 8 minutes left. And I would rather continue the show, and it's time for dialogue. We need some input from somebody. So if you're out there in listener land, what's on your mind? How can we support you? 563-999-3581, push 1, and we'll be having a conversation. And all is quiet out there, Jeannie?
Yeah, we're down to 6 minutes, so we have time for a quick question if someone presses 1.
Yeah, we have time for a 6-minute question.
And the switchboard flickered, so I don't know if Ann put her hand up again or not. She was talking to Dr. Tim, so I'm going to turn on her microphone. Ann, did you press 1 again?
No, but I was thinking about you.
Oh, well, we'll say hello at least and happy Thanksgiving. Hope that your holiday season is one that's safe and secure, and, you know, paying attention to what's going on around us with COVID and all, that everybody that's listening is safe, and that step into that gratitude space is a pretty powerful place to be.
Yes, and I have done a lot of practicing that, and I listened to Dr. Tim's show earlier, which was just really helpful to remind me of all the things that, you know, the tools he was working with Dahlia. I'm up in South Carolina, and maybe on the next time, I don't know how, you're not that far away from me, and I'm just outside Columbia. Are you?
Right. Well, we're in Bristol, Virginia. So you're in Columbia, South Carolina?
Yeah, just outside of it, Camden, which is like southeast of Columbia.
Is that where your daughter is now?
Yeah, they, out of all the trials and errors of a couple of other places down in Florida, now they are bought and closed and are in. She's still finishing up a contract in Florida, but the son-in-law got on with the fire department here, which is
a
dream
of
his. Yeah, he'd been volunteering. He was volunteer up in Michigan before, so had years from that. But anyway, so I'm here.
Well,
and
Columbia's
I'm
about 190 miles.
Columbia,
right.
South Carolina
Columbia,
South Carolina is 256 miles.
Okay,
well,
but I'm southeast of that. Anyway, I'm coming up again. Because there's this transition time, because as a firefighter, he's on 24 hours and you don't leave. And so they've got dog, of course, and then she won't be there. So they're just one day, but I'm going to come back up. My dealership gives me 2 weeks free rental. Did the challenge coming up with the other person. Was not fun because I couldn't find the charging stations. But anyway, I'm going to come back up, and I have it for 2 weeks. I won't be able to stay 2 weeks, but you're not that far away, it doesn't sound like. I'll see what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think the 191 miles is as the crow flies, and then when you put it in as a, so it's more like 230, right. Jeannie?
Well, I went off of it. It's 256 miles.
56.
Okay.
Yeah.
256,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But that's
cool.
Okay. So we'll see. I don't know what God has, but when I come back up, whether I stay for a while, and then, you know, but I was going to, like, go a little bit further, depending on who I can get to cover me in the sound room at my church. So,
right.
We'll see. We'll see what God has.
Well, tell Elizabeth we said hello and send our love and best wishes for their new residence and new home. And I haven't met her husband yet, but we'll send a hello to him as well, and that hope that the home is a wonderful, you know, community and home for them. That's awesome.
Yes. It's a smaller community outside Lugoff and Camden. Anyway, my practicing is because son-in-law's mom is here as well, and so I'm learning her personalities and being around her more, and she has admittedly said she is a control freak. She is a believer as well. So,
you mean you're getting to learn forgiveness again?
I know, right? Darn.
More lessons?
I know, but I am smiling now because I was just reminded of all the tools and all the things I needed to hear one more time with Dr. Tim. And so then, you know, and I love listening to you guys and, you know, your positivity too. So as the leaves fall one more time from the raked grass, I can smile. Anyway, that's great. So thank you so much for the show and continued support. And we'll see what it has, and I'll give you guys a shout. So, blessings. I'm going to ask you.
Cool. As you mentioned, leaves, we've come into a whole new appreciation of leaves in that we're building soil in our garden. The soil here is pure clay, and so we've been doing a lot of composting of leaves and grass and all kinds of things to build our soil, and our garden's been doing really well. We're actually still eating, you know, it's 21 degrees last night, and it stayed up at 34 in the greenhouse. So our food supply is still growing and doing well, and we're blessed. Appreciate the leaves falling. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope you have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You can give it. Thanks for joining us. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.